We wanted to announce, in between, with all the things that John just said, with what we talked about with Darren in the Chicago State University fight, that there is going to be a day of action. People might have seen the Facebook page. It's called Shut It Down. On April 1st, it's a Friday, all day long, everywhere. People should pick up flyers, and we want to actually mobilize as many people as possible for this action that's going to be happening. CTU is involved. John and the university unions are involved. Across the board, people are beginning to get involved, and it's a very important day. So we wanted to call people's attention to that and also start a chant, which we should practice now before it happens.
Shut it down! Shut it down! Shut it down! Shut it down!
Shut it down!
When you came in here, you hopefully signed in, so we have ways to reach out and involve everybody in the upcoming meetings of the Chicago Teacher Solidarity Campaign and all the organizations who help make tonight and all the things we have to do to mobilize for April 1st and beyond. So please make sure, if you didn't sign up yet, that you sign up on the way out so we can stay connected, we can stay massive, and we could build the kind of movement that will win. And to help do that, there are people already tweeting #BrokeOnPurpose. That's #BrokeOnPurpose. You can help be a part of that right now. I'm going to introduce our next speaker. Nidalis Burgos is a Latina youth activist from Humboldt Park and a senior at Lincoln Park High School. She has spent the last 4 years advocating for the right to quality public education for all. Nidalis.
Hello, everyone. So I'm just one student, but I'm one student that has been bullied. But I've not been bullied by someone my own size. I've been bullied by people who sit on piles of money, on people who were not elected, by people who do not represent me and the student body. In 2013, Rahm Emanuel and the unelected school board of Chicago closed 50 elementary schools in predominantly black and brown communities. One of those elementary schools was the elementary school I had graduated from in 2012 and the one my siblings attended. My siblings, along with every other student in those 50 schools, were pushed out. They were misplaced and they were told that they were not good enough. But it doesn't stop there. In 2016, we're standing here and we're witnessing furlough days, pink slips to our teachers, and budget cuts. So I didn't stop. These 4 years, I have been advocating for not only my education, but the education of my siblings and the education of every other student in Chicago. Lincoln Park faced a budget cut of $377,000. It's horrible, yeah. But we are fortunate enough to be in a community where people are okay and comfortable with pulling out checkbooks and writing commas. However, I'm most proud of my student body when they were still comfortable enough to stand up for education for students across Chicago as well. Yeah. Thank you. We came up with a hashtag, #FedUpFriday. With that hashtag, we led a walkout at our school. Thank you. This walkout was not only against the budget cuts at our school, but budget cuts across the city. With this, we showed to our governor and to our unelected school board of Chicago and the mayor that we're not going to sit down and do nothing. We're going to stand up for our right to our education, and we're going to make sure that we'll keep doing it until they understand that we are a priority. That's right. after the walkout that happened at Lincoln Park, we then did a rally with the same hashtag, FedUpFriday, and we invited schools from across Chicago. This rally consisted of about 300 students from about 30 schools. This showed our solidarity. This showed that no matter what side of Chicago you come from, you value your education. I'm a senior at Lincoln Park High School, which means I'm considering college now. And now Rauner's telling me that he's going to continue to bully me by telling me that I can't get a MAP grant, I can't go to college because I'm too poor. But it's not just affecting me. It's affecting students across Chicago, students across the state. And it's our time to then educate each other. And by each other, I mean students. On what we can do to make a change. And so it's unfortunate because we can't get classes that teach us about government and teach us about money and teach us about the economy and how to vote, what's going to be on the ballot. But how can we ask for this class? How can we ask for these classes if we can't even afford Common Core classes? We have classes of 30, 40 to 50 students, and they tell us deal with it like it's nothing because we're just a game and it's all a puppet show. So I'm here to say, we're done. We are the priority of Chicago. We are the future. Yeah, actions speak a lot louder than words. But our words are going to soar through because we are the future. And if we don't get it,
shut it down.
We will shut it down.
Our next speaker is Larry Biondi. He is the advocacy coordinator of the Progress Center for Independent Living in Forest Park. He's also a member of ADAPT, a national grassroots community that organizes disability rights activists to engage in nonviolent direct action to ensure the civil and human rights of people with disabilities to live in freedom. Everyone, please, a round of applause for Larry Biondi. Larry's device is not working right now, but he has it written out. So Tom will be reading Larry's statement out for him.
My name is Larry Biondi. I'm a longtime activist with ADAPT. ADAPT is a grassroots activist organization that fights for disability rights. We ADAPTers have protested for independent living and home and community services for people with disabilities. For over 25 years, we have labored to free our people from institutions. We continue to see our people excluded, impoverished, and institutionalized. About 1.5 million people with disabilities in the U.S. continue to live in institutional settings. In Illinois, we have an extremely strong nursing home lobby. The state has been slow to make home and community services available to all who need them. Every year, we face budget battles to fund the home care we need. Our caregivers are paid a pittance before they were organized and got a contract. Even today, workers are still fighting to get $15 an hour. We have faced many attempts to cut hours or to change eligibility criteria. Last year, our newly elected billionaire governor proposed a budget that would have cut 10,000 people with disabilities off of home care services and 36,000 seniors off the community care program. This attack was an extreme attempt to save money on the backs of people who need assistance with bathing, laundry, transferring from bed to wheelchair, and other activities of daily living. He was changing the Don score from 29 to 37 to cut eligibility. We fought him and got the legislators to pass a bill retaining the lower score and saying that any new eligibility tool needed to preserve current eligibility. It passed both the House and Senate, but the governor vetoed it with the stipulation that he would not move the score for now. We did not trust the governor to keep the eligibility as it was, so we got the Senate to override the veto. But because Ken Duncan voted against it, we lost the override in the House. This shows us that the governor is not a friend of human services. Yeah, so we say, save our services.
You remember that tweet, don't you? Hashtag broke on purpose. If you can tweet, do it. Faith Arnold has been a home-based child care provider for over 15 years. She is the co-chair of the executive board of SEIU Healthcare Illinois. She has been a union leader since 2001, fighting for living wages and health care for child care providers and human rights of people, and access to emerging. All of our speakers are fighting for such related things. And healthcare for child care providers and access to affordable child care for working families. Faith Arnold, thank you.
Thank you so much. My name is Faith Arnold, and I am a family child care provider. I'm co-chair of the executive board of SEIU Healthcare Illinois, and I'm extremely proud to be here tonight. I represent over 60,000 home care, nursing home child workers and child care workers across the state. Our members are home care, child care providers as well, and our home care workers care for seniors and people with disabilities so that they can live a full and independent life. We make sure that the patients in our hospitals receive the best of care. We are also there for nursing home residents who needs quality care and attention while recovering from illness or injuries in their later stage of life. And like me, who is a provider, care for children so that parents can work. I began my career over 15 years ago. I opened my home to children, and I wanted to have a positive impact not only on the lives of children, but also within my community and the family that I serve. Every day as a child care provider, I make sure that children are in a safe and nurturing environment, and I give parents the sense of calmness in knowing that while they are away at work or at school, that I provide the care that a parent would want for their own child, and also prepare them for school. So I provide, like many other family child care providers in the state, a vital service to our families, to our community as well. For working parents and their kids across the state, access to quality child care is a necessity. And we also know that it's one of those budget line items where parents have to make the decision on child care because it is needed for them to go out and provide for their family. It's just as important as housing and food. It is one of the biggest expense for parents. Child care is expensive, and without the Illinois Child Care Assistance Program, many parents in our state just could not afford child care. So I love the work that I do. I enjoy working with young children, I enjoy working with parents, and I enjoy knowing that what I do is very vital within my industry. But it is hard work, and for those that, you know, that's here and in the service sector, we realize and we understand that we put out more than what we get in, right? That it is extremely hard to do service work because we go above and beyond the call of duty. There is no one here that wakes up each day and go to their job and do just what it said that they're supposed to do. We always go above and beyond, whether it is that home care person that's dealing with their consumer that has to maybe go into their pocket, just as a teacher has to go into their pocket to provide supplies. As a family child care provider, I can't even tell you how many stories I've heard, even within myself, of how we have to go into our pockets to provide the essential necessary items just for families to make it each day. So I'm here tonight because I believe that all parents have the right to quality child care. All children have, exactly. And as a child care worker, that we too have a right to a living wage so we can all provide for our families. But instead of investing in child care and living wages for all families, Bruce Rauner and Rahm Emanuel have manufactured a budget crisis. And to justify stripping our communities of our vital services and our resources, Governor Rauner has twisted his priorities. He has made it clear that it's more important for his cronies to get these large tax breaks, but yet thousands of parents lose their job. Just last year, he made a change within the budget, eligibility for working parent, and 5,000 parents lost their job without access to child care. And so one of the individuals that come to mind is a woman who was excited about working for Walmart, making $9 an hour, and had secured what she thought was child care. But because of the change in eligibility, this mother could not work because her $9 an hour was too much for her to be qualified to receive subsidy child care. And so, you know, subsidy child care and CCAP is parents pay a copay, so the state is not paying the 100%, but still yet this parent could not afford to go to work. So most recently, one of Governor Rauner's buddies, Ken Griffin, who had the privilege of purchasing two paintings, which would value over $500 million that sits at the Art Institute. And so we can do the math here and realize just how much money that would have helped our program. And so it could definitely have covered over 200 CPS teachers, art teachers, 4,578 college-bound art students could have benefited from within the MEP award. And so we understand that our system is manufactured. Our system is broken because we have a governor whose priorities are in the wrong place. And so SEIU stand together with all of our brothers and sisters in the labor movement to say that things have got to change. And then come April 1st, like the it was brought to our attention that there's going to be an all-out rally. We will be there to fight in the streets with our labor family. Until every family has universal health care, every kid can go to a strong and safe public school and graduate from college without debt, and then until all seniors and people with disability can live independently. So I stand here to say to my fellow brothers and sisters in the labor movement, we are going to shut it down April 1st.